Greetings and welcome to the Recombobulation Area. I'm Dan Schaefer. Thank you for joining us. We have a special guest with us today, so we're just going to get right to it. Joining us is the state representative from Wisconsin's 66th Assembly District and the Assembly Democratic leader, Greta Neubauer. Greta, welcome to the Recombobulation Area. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Dan. Always great to chat with you.
Absolutely. So I was just thinking back here. The last time we had a chance to sit down and talk was in August in Chicago at the DNC. It feels like a lifetime ago. But there when we sat down to talk, you said that Democrats had a chance to win 52 seats in the Wisconsin State Assembly. You ended up winning 46. So why do you think you came up short of that ambitious goal?
Yeah, 45, actually, not to diminish, but
45.
So we, of course, are always going to be ambitious. And the work that we do is going out and talking to voters and trying to connect with them across the state. And we had fantastic candidates who ran really good races. And I think we had a real shot in all of those 52 seats. We had a number of places where we came up just short, really close elections in Milwaukee suburbs, in Green Bay. And those are places where we're going to be competing in future years. And so we are really pleased that in a tough year for Democrats, we were able to pick up 10 seats. We were able to narrow the margin quite a bit. We've got five more to go to get that majority. We've got great candidates who really built the infrastructure, grassroots infrastructure in many of these districts that had not had competitive local elections in quite some time. They got some experience. Many of them want to run again. And so we feel proud of the work we did. Of course, disappointed not to get the majority, but we think we laid the groundwork for 2 years from now when we'll have an opportunity at a trifecta with the Senate also being in a strong position to win a majority.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm already going to be kicking myself from saying that number incorrectly. 45. Right off the bat here, I screwed it up.
There's a lot of numbers to keep track of.
I know. But yeah, I think, you know, when you're taking a step back, a lot of those races were really, really close. Like you said, there were a couple, you know, in the Fox Valley and Green Bay that were decided by, you know, just a few hundred votes. Hindsight is, of course, 2020. But when you look at back at some of these races, is there anything that really stands out to you as something that you maybe wish you would have done differently?
You know, there's not a lot. I think the candidates were fantastic. We sat down with everybody before they got their names on the ballot, and we said, this is going to be really rigorous, right? We're going to expect that you're out knocking on doors 5 days a week, that you're raising money, that you're doing events and talking to your voters basically in every minute possible between now and election day. And our candidates really did do that. I think they connected with the people of their districts. They shared their experience. You know, they were locally rooted folks who had a deep understanding of the issues impacting their communities. Our campaigns were well run. You know, we had, I think, the right messages for the year. And we had significant resources to put behind them as well. We're really proud of the fundraising that we were able to do this year. And so I really think the campaigns were very well executed. You know, obviously it was a difficult year for Democrats overall, and it is tough when the top of the ticket struggles in Wisconsin for us to really be able to do what we need to do. I will say that I think Democrats overall, right, of course, have some reflecting to do after this election. And I think it's very concerning to all of us that particularly those folks that make less than $100,000 a year really moved away from Democrats. And so I think we're all thinking about what we need to do in the Capitol and in our communications and on the campaign trail to reconnect with those voters and to talk about the work that we have done and we are going to do to improve their lives. You know, who are the Democrats, if not the party of working and middle class people? And so while I think our candidates on the doors talked a lot about the pocketbook issues that Wisconsinites are thinking about, I do think that, you know, the brand of Democrats and sort of the the way that people understand what Democrats believe, we're going to be thinking about it for a while.
So what are some of those conversations you're having like at this moment?
Well, you know, a lot of what we're doing right now is we've got 23 new members coming into the Assembly Democratic Caucus. That is a majority of our caucus that will be new. And all of those people were out, you know, campaigning in primaries and in general elections and talking to voters and to their constituents. And so I think what we're doing right now is a lot of listening and trying to understand exactly what happened. As I'm sure you know, we still don't have the voter file yet. And so it's hard to know exactly who turned up this year, who turned out to vote and who didn't, and what we can make of that, right? Did our knocking on doors really have an impact? We think it did, but we want to see the data, right? And so I think there's still quite a bit of analysis to do there. But what we are doing, as I said, is listening to our new members who are coming in and to our constituents and really trying to understand where things fell apart. You know, I think many of us look at Trump and his last presidency and believe that he really did very little for the people of Wisconsin, that he's just not looking out for the people of Wisconsin. But clearly some people felt otherwise. And so we're just trying to understand that. I think our policy priorities continue. We have always been focused on lowering costs for working and middle-class families. We have always been focused on investing in childcare and education, increasing access to affordable health care, creating good jobs. We know that those are top priorities for the people of Wisconsin, and we just need to really make sure that people understand what we're doing in Madison and how it would directly impact them and their family.
Yeah, I think this is one of the conversations that people have been having, you know, since the election and all that. Do you think it is part of the problem that Democrats have faced this year? Do you think part of it is a messaging question? Do you think part of it is that, you know, it is more challenging to, or maybe there were missteps along the way in getting that message out to people and telling the story of what Democrats have done and want to do, you know, in their positions of power?
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it. You know, I heard an interview with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that I thought was really insightful. She talked about the ad that was run, you know, across the country by the Trump campaign that said Kamala Harris is focused on they, them, and Trump is focused on you. And she said that people have really been focused right on the first half of that statement, them, Kamala Harris focused on them. But really what we should be thinking about is the second piece of that, which is that Trump is focused on you. And I think that Republicans were able to convince a lot of people that Democrats did not care about them. And that is a real concern to all of us, right? I think Trump was able to resonate with the anger that many people feel over, you know, really struggling to make it to the end of the month. We know that inequality is incredibly high, right? That has increased over the past several decades, and that there's real work to do around that. And I will also note that I've seen some recent conversation about, you know, things like NAFTA and the impact of NAFTA and some of this economic policy that Democrats were part of passing and putting into place, you know, several decades ago, and the impact of that on communities like Racine, right? When I run by our local YMCA and it's shuttered in the city of Racine, I can't help but think about that policy. And so I do think that Democrats have things to answer for, right? Policy decisions that we've made that we didn't maybe anticipate the impacts of or know what the impacts would be. And there is real work to do to invest in our local communities, to help people not just survive, but thrive, right? To have real jobs that support their families and help them plan for retirement. And Democrats, you know, have consistently been the party that is looking out for working class families. But there is work to do in policy and in messaging to ensure that we are reaching those voters and those constituents and we are building an image for 2025 and forward that makes it really clear that Trump is in it for himself. He's in it for rich people. He's in it for corporations and Democrats, and you know, your local assembly Democratic representative is in it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting stuff. So thinking back to the election as well, you know, obviously you mentioned, we talked about how maybe some of those ambitious goals were not quite reached this election cycle, but you were still able to flip 10 seats under new maps, and there was a lot more competition across the board. So, you know, just reflect on that experience and what did that teach you, you know, about having more, a lot more competitive districts, about the ability to compete in places, that you maybe, you know, the, because of the maps were not able to previously. What did you learn from that experience?
Oh my gosh. It's a really good question. So first of all, we just had to scale up in a totally different way this year. I've been the leader now for just about 3 years, and so did help run the campaign operation for the Assembly Democrats 2 years ago. And we had a handful of competitive seats, right? They were close. They were expensive. They were very rigorous. We saw, you know, terrible attack ads on our candidates. And so sort of those fundamentals we have seen before of what these really competitive campaigns look like in Wisconsin. But we had 15 targeted seats this year and so many candidates in, as you said, really different parts of the state, different kinds of communities, right? We had folks who were in smaller cities in Wisconsin, more rural areas, some suburban, a combination of all three. And we have seats, new members coming in from, you know, all four borders, right, of the state of Wisconsin. And so, you know, I feel grounded in, how do I say this? I guess I'll say, I think the way that we campaign is that we really try to empower our candidates in those districts to listen to the people they're talking to on the doors and to make that the core of their campaign, to understand that different parts of the state have different priorities, right? People in Western Wisconsin are really concerned about access to healthcare and not having to drive several hours when, you know, they need to have a baby or get access to mental health care. People in other parts of the state are feeling a real housing crunch. Some communities have lost childcare centers and have nowhere to turn. And so we really try to make sure that our campaigns are rooted in the hyper-local issues that are top of mind for folks. We also really strongly believe in knocking on doors. As I said, I think we feel that those one-on-one conversations are the most powerful tool that we have, in convincing someone who might be a little disillusioned with the political process to show up, but also reaching that person who hasn't decided yet how they're going to vote. You know, we heard story after story from our candidates about knocking on a door and having someone say, you know, I like that Trump guy, but you're here and it seems like you're a good person who cares about the things that I care about, and I'm going to vote for you this year. And in some of these districts, we will need that, right? There are some districts that are right around 50% districts where in a tough year, if Republicans win at the top of the ticket, we will need people to split. And so, you know, it's always a small percentage of voters who do that. But in Wisconsin, it's often enough to determine a victory, right? It was enough for Tammy Baldwin this year. It was enough for Steve Doyle. And we're just going to remain focused on doing everything we can to have our candidates be locally grounded and rooted and empower them to talk about the issues that are most important to their folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, taking a look at some of the results, I found it interesting that some of the, you know, Republicans that maybe overperformed the top of the ticket, also the case for Steve Doyle in Western Wisconsin, but that a lot of them were incumbents. And I think that's one thing I think people need to recognize with, you know, this first election under new maps. There's still a lot of the lingering effects of the gerrymander means that there are more Republican incumbents. And I think, you know, you look at some of the incumbents like Jesse Rodriguez or Bob Donovan or Todd Novak, those were the, you know, kind of swing district candidates that tended to do better. So how important is the incumbency factor in these assembly races?
Yeah, I appreciate you raising this. And this is clearly part of the story, right? In those 5 seats that we lost, that we would have needed to win to get the majority that we'll be going after in 2 years, 4 of them either had an incumbent or someone who'd previously served in the assembly, right? So the type of incumbent. And those folks did overperform. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think the clearest, right, the most obvious is that they are communicating with their constituents year round. They are present in their communities. They're going to events. They're getting to know people. And I think there's some interesting sort of trends to dig into this year, right? We overall in the country saw voter turnout go down. In Wisconsin, that was not the case, right? We had good voter turnout this year. But I think one of the dynamics that I'm interested to look into as we're getting the data back on who voted this year is that I think in a year in which there's a lot of disillusionment and a lot of frustration with politics as a whole, which I would say in my experience is at an all-time high, right, since I've been in politics, is that there is a potential there for incumbents to still overperform if people know them, right? So people are frustrated with politicians in general, but they often still like their local person because they met them at a, you know, breakfast with the Rotary Club, and they feel that that person is different, right, than other politicians, that person does care about them. And so I think, you know, what we saw was people gravitating maybe more so, right, than in the last cycle towards Trump and his sort of anger, but his resonance with people's frustrations about politics. So I think there's interesting dynamics here, but certainly trying to flip 15 seats and beat a lot of incumbents was a tough road to hoe this year. And we are thinking a lot about what we need to do over the next 2 years to prepare to go up against these incumbents in 2 years who have built strong brands, who know people, and who are able to sort of cut through the political environment.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask about some of the issues that you've been hearing about, too. And one of the things that, you know, that you've mentioned a couple times here is it's important to be listening to your constituents, to your voters, to the people that you're having these one-on-one conversations with, you know, at the doors. Obviously, we know the economy really stood out as a top issue in this election. Immigration was another one that consistently pulled very high as a priority for a lot of people. Now, there was a pretty big partisan split on, you know, which party deemed that to be a priority, but it clearly, you know, was pretty high on the list for what people were concerned with on this. My question with this is, I'm curious what you think the Democratic message on immigration and the border really is right now, because I think that, to me, you know, even as an outside observer, it's not entirely clear to me. And I think that really emerged as a top issue in this campaign. So when you're having those top conversations with voters on the doors, if they say their top issue is immigration, if they say their top issue is border security, you know, what are Assembly Democrats saying in response to that concern?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think one of the challenges that we had just, you know, in reflecting on this year is that, of course, we have very little to do with the border, and our candidates, they understand that it's not our role in the legislature, right, to regulate immigration or to think about, you know, who deserves citizenship. But our Republican colleagues were more than willing, right, to put out mailers saying that they're tough on this issue, right, that they want to secure the border, that they want to crack down. And voters often don't understand, right, what is under our purview. And so I do think we had a challenge this year with our candidates struggling to communicate about this issue, recognizing and being honest, right, with voters that this is not something we have a lot of control over. So what I would say is that we understand that immigrants are an essential part of our communities here in Wisconsin, that our workforce needs immigrants, right? It needs the people who are here, and it needs more people. We have continued to face workforce shortages, right? And that's only going to exacerbate in the years ahead. You know, Trump's talk of mass deportations, I know, has put the dairy industry on high alert, right? Manufacturing sector. And then, of course, many of us who just believe that separating families or removing people who have lived in our communities for decades and been an integral part of our communities is wrong. And so I think there's going to be a balance here, right? People want to have an immigration system that works, right? They want to have a border where there is an orderly process, right? And where we understand who is coming across the border. But I also think that most people in Wisconsin disagree with Trump's policy on mass deportations and on moving really significant resources to criminalizing immigration. And so I hope that, you know, our folks at the federal level, I know Senator Baldwin has been very focused on this issue and ensuring that we're finding that balance of treating people humanely and understanding that we want to have immigrants come to Wisconsin, and also understanding that people across the state and across the country have been fed some misinformation, right, about this issue, and are very fearful about what the future might hold.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's obviously going to be a really big issue to follow in, you know, this second Trump term once he's inaugurated in January. I want to look ahead to next year in Wisconsin, next year at the state capitol. What are you expecting to perhaps be different or the same with smaller Republican majorities in the Assembly and Senate?
Sure. So I think we've already started to see the impact of fair maps in Wisconsin. We saw Republicans much more willing to negotiate last budget cycle, and particularly on issues like shared revenue and housing, and even having more conversations about things like legalizing marijuana and investing in our schools. And so that's good news. That's good for democracy. That's good for the voters. And I think a lot of people, a lot of legislators are coming back to the Capitol having heard about the same issues on the doors, right? In many cases, talking to the same voters. And people talked about education. They talked about costs. They talked about healthcare access. They talked about our rights and protecting our freedoms under a Trump administration in particular. And so I think there's going to be a lot more room for bipartisan work. It's always a little tough to come off a, you know, partisan campaign trail, but as far as we're concerned, the campaign's over and the voters send us to Madison to get things done. They don't care whose name is on the bill. They don't care which party it came from. They just want us to focus on policy that's going to improve their lives. And so I'm hopeful that particularly in the budget process, we'll see some real investment in our schools, where frankly, I think we've been failing our kids. That we will see an effort to compromise on things like a tax cut. Of course, Republicans are out the gate, right, talking about another tax cut, and we're open to that, but it has to be focused on helping those people who are having a difficult time make ends meet. It can't be focused on more giveaways to the rich and to corporations like we've seen from our Republican colleagues in the past. So I think there's going to be a lot more negotiation, a lot more discussion between parties. I know our new folks are coming in with a real commitment to working across the aisle, and our folks who have been here for a while see new openings to work on the issues that are most important to them and their constituents.
So do you expect a more bipartisan efforts, or do you expect the Republicans to be just as dug in as they have been before? I mean, obviously they still have, Robin Voss is still the assembly speaker, and we've seen how Robin Voss operates and has for the past, 12 plus years in that role.
We have, but I think a good example on this is the efforts to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz, right? We saw Robin Voss and others come out and say that they wanted to do that. And then we know what happened is members, Republican legislators, went to their leadership and expressed concern about that, right? Many people who expected that they might be running in more competitive districts that we know were in districts that Protasiewicz won, right? And they said, I think this is too far, right? And so I think that is what we're expecting to see more of, is people who have to look over their left shoulder and their right shoulder and know that they're up for election in 2 years and want to be responsive to their constituents and don't want to be seen as hyper-partisan, because it's not what the people of Wisconsin are asking us for. And so I'm hopeful that that the members will do everything they can to push back on leadership's efforts to ignore these critical issues to Wisconsinites. And I expect that will be the case.
So looking ahead, then, what are some of your priorities as Assembly Democrats on the budget, on other bills, and so forth?
Yeah, so we always see our work as twofold, right? We want to get done everything that we can. We want to take every opportunity to invest in our schools, to lower costs for families, I mentioned, in childcare and housing and prescription drugs. We want to create opportunities for people to have good jobs, right? And have a safe workplace. We also have longer term priorities, things that might be difficult to accomplish in this year, but we know are things that are really important to the people of Wisconsin, like their access to abortion, the rights of working people to organize and to have a fair say in their wages and their benefits. We know that people care about the environment and clean drinking water. We want to focus on safety and criminal justice reform. We have a lot of members, and they have diverse priorities depending on their districts and their interests. And we're going to continue to push forward that long-term visionary policy while also taking every opportunity we can to get things done.
Well, Greta, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us here at the Recombobulation Area. We'll enjoy the holiday season, and we'll enjoy some of your own recombobulating in the weeks to come here. And we'll look forward to speaking again in the new year.
Thanks so much, Dan. Always really, really great to join you.